Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I believe America needs healing, don't you? I really do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're all pretty familiar with that verse, but let's look at it one more time. If my people just think about it as I'm reading it here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is God's formula. I do believe America needs healing. Lee Greenwood, who has made the song God Bless the USA so famous, there was a school just recently, a school board who ruled that they could not sing that song. There were two songs they were planning to sing. This was one of them. And they said, no, you cannot sing it. They wanted to change the words, and they did, to "We love the USA," not "God bless the USA." Well, thank God there was an uproar from the people, and they changed it. And they said, well, you can sing it if you want to, but you don't have to sing it. They still didn't quite get it right, but at least it was better than it was. I heard him just briefly walking through my den the other morning on Fox News, I believe it was, and they were interviewing him, and he was talking about his feelings about the country and the fact that it needed healing. And he said, if I remember right, I didn't hear all of the wording of it, but I think he said, if I were to rewrite it, I would change it to "God help the USA." God bless the USA, God help the USA, so that we can get in a position so God can bless us. God bless the USA, God help the USA. Today, the sin in America is when you call sin, sin. When you stand up and say that sin is sin, as far as our culture is concerned, that's sin for us. That's the unpardonable sin in our culture. We're called bigots. They say we're intolerant, that we force political issues into the religious arena, that we are hateful. If we take a position on abortion, then we're getting involved in politics, and we should stay out of politics, in the moral arena, bringing it into politics. We are called fundamentalist. And they say that we're having no fun, there's too much lack of fun in us, too much damn in us, and not enough mental in us. Well, I'll take the compliment. How about you? Because I'm a fundamental Baptist, and I believe it. But a lot of what has happened, I'm convinced, folks, that we've brought it on ourselves. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We have brought a lot of this stuff on ourselves. The reason is we have become savorless salt. We're no longer, and you've heard me say a lot about it, but that's the problem. We're no longer salty Christians. And I'm talking about the broad spectrum, and that does include our independent Baptist churches. And so what happens to the salt when it's lost its savor? It is trodden under the foot of man. And that's exactly what has happened to the church today. They are walking on us. They are trotting us under their feet tonight, because we have lost our savor, our power. And I believe it is being reflected in our society. America is sick. We are ripe for judgment. I'm telling you, we are ripe for God's judgment. And I think we're probably closer than we think. Now we go back to the text. I know this text was written specifically to Israel, but God's principles are always there. And so we look at that and we have to ask, what does it mean? What did it mean then? What does it mean now? How do we interpret it now? How do we apply it now in our 21st century? And then we have to ask the question, how do I apply it to myself? This principle, how do I apply it to myself? And so let's look at three or four things here in this one verse that's important to us. First of all, we see the people God has. In verse 14, if my people. And I know we're used to that, but look at it carefully. If my people. If only we say in our society, if only we could get rid of bad television. If only we could close all of the Planned Parenthood places. If only we could get rid of all of the abortion clinics. If only we could get rid of the liquor crowd and the gambling crowd and all of those. If only we could do that, we would have revival. That's not true. I'm for doing all of that, but that's not what revival is, and that's not that is not where it's going to come from. The if is in the wrong place there. If we could get rid of them, if we could do all of this. I still believe you ought to register, and I still believe you should vote, and I still believe you should do the best you can, but that is not where revival is going to come. Revival is not in the White House. Revival is not in the State House. Madeline played "The Eyes of Texas Are Upon You" a while ago, a little snippet from there. But it's not in the State House. It's not in the White House. It is in your house and my house. That's where revival has to come from, in my house, in your house, the Christians' houses, where we live. So the people God has, who are they? If my people, that's who God is speaking to. That's where the principle, that's how the principle is addressed, and it's addressed to us. If my people, that's you, that's me tonight. That's members of Worth Baptist Church. That's Fundamental Baptist. That's Christians all over the world, and especially as we think of the United States. So the people God has. Secondly, the pride God hates. The pride God hates. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Shall humble themselves. The pride God hates. Proverbs says, he gives a list of things God hates. These six things God hates. And the seventh is an abomination unto God. And where does he start? What is the number one thing that he lists? Pride. Pride is at the top of the list. And pride is always a problem. If there never had been any pride, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. It started with the devil, who thought he could be greater than God and let pride come into his free will that God had given him at that occasion, and rebelled against God because of his pride, Satan and pride. And then we see him in the Garden of Eden. What is he doing? He's tempting Eve. Now, I don't think Eve was really hungry that day. I don't think the appeal was, as we would call it, Adam's apple or the apple or whatever. I don't think the appeal from that tree was the fruit that was on that tree so much. But the devil kept talking to her, he who had fallen because of pride. And what did he say? If you will eat of this fruit, you shall be like what? Gods. And she just couldn't resist. She wanted to be like a god, like God, like gods. And I believe that's why she succumbed to the temptation of the devil, because she had enough pride already there in that temptation by Satan to fall and say, I really want to be a god. And God had already told them to leave it alone. He knew what would happen if they did that. And I can tell you that every world problem we have today, rape, murder, the abortions that take place, the molestation of little children, which is a horrible thing, the crime, the drugs, everything that we have that is wrong with our society today can be traced back to the one problem of pride. And it all goes back to Adam and Eve and pride. But what about America? I think America has gotten too proud. I really do. We worship our computers our stock market, our money, our materialism, our fun, our pleasure. And I'm for being wise and taking care of your money, and I like to have fun too. But we've made all of these things, and sex is at the top of the list. Immorality is a god in our country. Terrible god. And we worship, some call it Mother Earth. And they are kissing and hugging the earth when they have a picnic on the grass, and they think they're worshiping Mother Earth. We've gotten so proud that we've left God out. You ever prayed, God, humble me? I don't know that that's a wise prayer to pray. Because God has a lot of ways that you might not like and that I might not like if God does the job of humbling us. If we say, God, humble me. Now, I've heard some say, God, keep me humble. I've never known anybody that was humble that long where they could pray, God, keep me humble. But we don't necessarily need to pray, God, humble me. But God tells us where the responsibility really lies. What does he say? If my people, which are called by name, shall humble themselves. We are supposed to humble ourselves. And that's what people don't want. I said apathy is the greatest enemy to our freedom today, and apathy is the greatest enemy to revival in our churches today. People who don't get stirred, who are not moved, who are just ho-hum about the things of God. You can sing a marvelous song about Jesus and his crucifixion and the wonder of it all, and they'll just sit ho-hum, and there's never an expression, never excitement, never any involvement. That's not true of all, of course, but that is true of too many in our churches today. But God says we're to humble ourselves. We sometimes come to church, we go through the forms, we dress up nicely, we sing the songs, we pray the prayers, we give the offerings. And sometimes I think many Christians are just trying to save face. And here's what God tells us, we need to lose face. Humble ourselves. Get used to the idea that God wants us to humble ourselves. We need to lose face. God wants us to repent of our sins, but we don't want to confess our sins. And the church is sort of a self-preservation place for us too many times. And we go through all of the routine of it. But there are times, folks, that God wants us to sincerely, honestly, earnestly, for real, genuinely humble ourselves before God. God wants us to humble. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. And we need to do that. Why do we need to do that? Well, James gives us a good Bible clue as to why we need to humble ourselves. James 4:6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Get that. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. How would you like for God to resist you? Would you want God to come up with his power against you, to resist you? And he says that he resisteth the proud. And that's part of the problem in America. We don't think we need God, and we don't depend on God. We depend on our ways and working it out ourselves and all of those things. But if we are filled with pride in this country and in our churches and God's people who will not humble ourselves and will not admit the seriousness of the matter and the great need that we have, then if we will not humble ourselves and we're proud, God will resist us. It's guaranteed that God is going to resist people who are filled with pride. So there are the people that God has, and there's the pride that God hates. And then the prayer that God hears. The prayer that he hears. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's part of the formula. Are you interested in the formula tonight? Do you have the attitude, well, I've heard this so many times, it doesn't bother me anymore. It's like water off of the duck's back. Or does it disturb you? Does it make you think? God is telling us that we need to see this. And that it is important for us to get under the burden of it and to humble ourselves and to pray. But did you know that not every prayer is good? Did you know that there are some prayers that anger God? There really are. You say, how could a prayer anger God? Well, prayer isn't enough. Sometimes prayer is really, we fool our own selves. It's almost a smoke screen to hide our sins. We pray without repentance. And praying without true, heartfelt, definite repentance, according to the Bible, is dangerous before God. There must be real repentance. How do you know? Psalm 80 verse 4, one verse. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Israel was in sin and God was angry even at their prayers. He did not want to answer, hear, or honor their prayers because they would not repent. Oh, they were praying, but they would not repent. And so it's ineffectual. It makes God angry. God does not like that. God wants us to repent of our sin. We say, oh God, I'm sorry. I did it again. Oh God, I'm just not going to get it out of my life. But I do want you to forgive me. You're a loving, merciful God. Forgive me, forgive me. And I know about 1 John 1:9, but I know that God says if we hide iniquity in our hearts, God's not going to hear our prayers. And that's a fact of the Word of God to the children of God. And so most of us seek God's hand, listen to me, not His face. Oh, what are you going to do for me, God? I want your hand. But God says, seek my face. Seek Him and Him alone. Seek God's face. What is revival? There are a lot of different ways to describe it, but one way is when God turns His face toward us. That's what He's talking about here. If they will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. When God turns His face in favor toward us, then we have revival. That's a good description of revival. In other words, it is the smile of God. God is pleased. We have repented. We have humbled ourselves. We've turned to God. And we cry to God and repent. Sometimes we cry to God, God, do something. Why don't you do something? Do something to the politicians. Do something to these murderers. Do something to these abortionists. Do something to these child molesters and these drug runners and all of those things. That is pretty much seeking His hand. We're seeking His hand there. But listen, God has already done something. God has already done something. I believe with all of my heart that God is judging us. Will He judge the United States? My friend, I think He already is judging the United States of America. I think we're facing the judgment of God. If you don't believe that, pick up your newspaper in the morning or go on the internet, wherever you get your news, and look it over and tell me how much good news you see and look at our society and our culture and all that's going on, all of the things that are going on. Just like that first story I told you about the school, all of those things across our country and all of the things that have happened since 9-1-1, my friend, I believe God is judging this country. What does God do? He takes the hedge down. God has, I believe, has had a hedge around America. He had a hedge around Job. He had to get permission to go in, and He did. As long as that hedge was there, he couldn't bother Job. But God let him go in, gave him permission. And I believe it's that way in our country. I believe it's that way in our church. God puts a hedge around it. And in our homes, God puts a hedge around it. But if there's sin, if we're not right with God, then He's going to remove that hedge. And I believe that, I honestly believe at least a great deal of the hedge around America is being removed by Almighty God. He's allowing us to be a second-rate nation in many ways, and I love America and I love the flag, but He's allowing us to be in debt to China. who is an enemy of Christianity, probably responsible. By the way, Christianity is growing greater in China than it is in free America. Persecution might be good for us, I don't know. But we seek His face in turn, is what He says. We don't repent and then say, God bless us anyhow. Or if we don't repent, we don't say, God bless us anyhow. God says we've got to repent in order for Him to bless us. There was an occasion in the Bible, you know the story about Joshua. And they came across and they won the great battle there, the great victory at Jericho. Tremendous miracles took place there at Jericho. And God was honored and God was praised. And then it wasn't too long until they came to Ai, a little old area, and they got defeated and whipped. And Joshua got on his face and he was praying before God. And God said, get up! Joshua, quit praying. What you need to do is go back in the camp. There's sin in the camp. And get that sin out. And then you can win the battles. And then you can move forward. Israel had sin. And I believe America has flaunted its pride in the face of Almighty God. And until we humble ourselves, God's people especially, until we humble ourselves, we're not going to see anything but the judgment of God. So we have the people God has, and that's you and me tonight. The pride God hates, and if we won't come clean and humble ourselves, that's us. And then the prayer God hears, and then the promise God answers. The promise God answers. Look at what He says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and I might say and only then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That principle is good tonight. If God's people meet those standards. So God's thens are always in the right place. In the Bible, look it up. The thens of God, they're always where they belong, always in the right place. If all of this happens, then I might say we ought to maybe check our motive. I want America to have a revival because of my children and my grandchildren. And because of the future of this nation and all of that, I want our country to get back to the country it was. I feel sorry for the teenagers and young couples and all who are living in this era who missed the time of the 50s and all, when America was great, the church was great, pastors were respected, and prayer was in the schools, and the Pledge of Allegiance was part of it, and God was honored, and the Bibles were there. The Gideons were on campus once or twice a year giving out Bibles, and we had great freedom like nobody knows, and there was great morality. But we got so prosperous that we decided we didn't really need God. But our motive should not just be for country, the flag, America, or our children and grandchildren. Our motive ought to be that He is glorified. Amen. That He, God, be praised. That He be glorified. That He be honored like He deserves to be honored. That Christ be lifted up. Peter Marshall, who is chaplain of the United States Senate, I quote him, he said, may our freedom be seen, listen to this, not as the right to do as we please, not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to please to do what is right. May it ever be understood that our liberty is under God and can be found nowhere else. I like that quote. Then he prayed this prayer, to the extent that America honors thee, will thou bless America and keep her true as thou hast made her free, and make her good as thou hast made her rich. What a prayer. And that's a good prayer for us to pray. Now here's what I'd like for us to do tonight. We're just going to have a little prayer meeting, and let's just pray for our country, whatever else may be on your heart. And in just a few moments, I'll close us out in our closing word of prayer. Find you a prayer partner too, and let's go to prayer. And I'm especially asking you to deal with your own heart, whatever God may have spoken to you about in this matter of humbling yourselves or repentance, but then pray for this country. And let's humble ourselves tonight before Almighty God and let Him know we're sincere. Would you pray for America? And get along with God for just a few moments.